Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, it's Friday. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're glad that you're here. If it's on Facebook, good morning to you. People been on since about 5 a.m. this morning. I'm not quite sure where you are, but we've been here since 5, and we're glad that you're here. However you got here, Odyssey app on the radio, downloading the podcast. Wherever you do your podcasting, you can find the Mark Cox Morning Show on there. So be sure and check that out. Right now, I feel like I swallowed an anchor. Can I tell you that? because today, as we've talked about a few minutes ago, a little earlier in the show, is Kathleen England's last day on the program. Yeah. And we're sad about that. But to celebrate, we've been celebrating with food. We've got her a cake over there for her final day.
Chocolate on chocolate.
Yes. And Trisha Everding brought in some McDonald's sandwiches a minute ago. Now, wisely, Kathleen's sandwich is still sitting over there. Mine is now in my belly, and I ate it in about 4 minutes, which was probably not a smart thing for me to do, in hindsight.
People saw me eating mine on camera.
It seemed like a good idea when my stomach wanted me to eat it, and now it just feels like it's just sitting in there. So
got a rock in your stomach.
I know. That's kind of what it feels like. But anyway, for those of you maybe just catching up and you had not heard that news, Kathleen is going to be her last day. She's taking a really long weekend, like won't be back as in long weekend, but for family reasons has to step away from these early morning hours and focus on what's important, right?
Right, right. And I will miss you guys. Miss everyone.
Well, you're welcome to come back and visit anytime you want to get up at 4 in the morning and drive down here.
I mean, 3 in the morning. Actually, 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, you're up early anyway, right?
Exactly.
I mean, if you're awake anyway, what's a little drive with some deer and all that stuff at that hour?
Yeah. Maybe if the deer thin out a bit.
You will miss that nice commute, though, won't you, with no traffic?
Yes, I will. I will say.
You don't have a problem with that at all.
No.
At this early morning hour. But we do have another surprise or two for you, which we will get to here just a little later in this hour. So stand by, please.
Okay.
Not that you're going anywhere for 50 more minutes, but we're not going to let you out of here before then.
Oh, I'm curious.
Before we absolutely have to. We're not going to let you out before we have to. All right. So we need to get to the shortlist. We got some big stories going on today.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
How many establishment Republicans would have sent illegal aliens to Martha's Vineyard?
President Trump never punches first, but if you decide to take him on, he will destroy you.
I have most certainly learned numerous lessons during the test which God has graced me.
Everyone's talking about beer companies these days, but nobody's talking about beer.
That's Troy Aikman there at the end of the short list, in case you you missed that. He's got his own brand of beer out, apparently. He's trying to say, hey, look at me. If you don't want to buy whatever you've been drinking, Bud Light, you can buy some of my beer, which apparently maybe only be for sale in Texas. I don't know.
Yes.
It's called Number 8, which was his jersey number. Imagine that. Hey, you know, I mentioned this a little earlier, but kind of a big deal yesterday was the Supreme Court and its ruling on the EPA. And this is absolutely a fantastic ruling for one reason. It was unanimous. It unanimously rejected the overreach by the government bureaucracy, which is the Environmental Protection Agency. Who hates that? Well, Chuck Schumer ripped the Supreme Court as a MAGA court, even though the vote was 9-0 to overturn this. So what does that tell you about people like Chuck Schumer? Oh, by the way, and the president of the United States, because he tweeted out, at least his whoever handles his Twitter account tweeted out, the Supreme Court's disappointing decision will take our country backwards. Do you know what this decision was? Have you paid any attention to this at all? So the Supreme Court, said to the EPA, you can't make laws and you can't just decide that you think you have power to do things like this. So what we're talking about here is the wetlands, waters of the USA. They wanted to redefine waters of the USA to give the EPA the effort to regulate any water anywhere. Let me repeat that. Any water, anywhere. Lakes on your private property. They want to absolutely overreach with what they're able to do here. And this is fantastic news. The EPA serves a purpose, right? It does. But it's environmental overreach. It's executive overreach. Let me repeat that. On the environmental front is what they were trying to do here. The majority of the court said there was a lack of clarity about the types of waters covered in the Clean Water Act. This is what Alito wrote about it. And I explain this because I think it's important that they've narrowed the standard. They're going to limit how much water the EPA can regulate. A staggering array of landowners are at risk of criminal prosecution if they don't realize that their property is subject to federal environmental rules. So Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Amy Coney Barrett all agreed with that description of it. Now, the more progressive justices wrote their own opinion, but it was a 9-0 vote against this EPA rule. That's a win for freedom-loving Americans, so people get manhandled by the bureaucracy. Back in 2004, a couple purchased a vacant lot, and they went to get permits to develop the site, but they were told by the EPA shortly after they began construction that they viewed the land as subject to their review because there were some wetlands about 300 feet from this lake that was on their property. And they declined it. And the couple sued, right? And basically said, where does your power stop here? Water goes everywhere eventually. I mean, do you control every body of water in the entire United States? So what the Supreme Court did here was overturn the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and set a new standard for the type of water covered by the Clean Water Act. Now, maybe you don't have any water on your property and this doesn't affect you. But trust me when I tell you, this is a great decision. This is kind of a big deal. And I wanted to make sure that we reported that on to you this morning. By the way, there's a group that has done a big study of voting up in New York. This happened to focus on New York because these investigators got their hands on some information and did a deep dive onto it on databases for voter registrations in the state of New York. And what they found was rather shocking. Shocking enough that I hope there will be investigations in about, 49 more states because of what they found. I'm going to talk that over with Ryan Wiggins in here at the bottom of the hour, about 8:35. And we're going to get to all of that still to come on the Mark Cox Morning Show. We'll be back in a minute.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yes, indeed, Ron Burgundy. We could not agree with that statement anymore. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I just noticed, where did it go? It got away from me now here. Carl, did you know that yesterday, I don't know how you missed this, quite frankly. Yesterday was the anniversary from 1988 of when Rambo hit theaters.
Well, it was also the anniversary of Star Wars and Return of the Jedi in theaters, 46 and 40 years ago. That's the thing that mattered.
That was more important. That is one of those movies that if I'm flipping through the TV and don't have something else to watch, I will stop and watch.
When Rambo?
Rambo?
Rambo? Now hold on a second. That would have Rambo was not 1988.
Rambo 3.
Oh. The worst
hit
one.
The theaters in 1988.
The worst one.
Well, the first one wasn't so bad, was
when did,
it?
When no, did
the
Rambo
second, the second one,
Rambo
First Blood.
1 come out in 78, 79,
no, 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 no,
80,
no, no, no.
something like that? It was early 80s,
early,
wasn't
early
it?
Early 80s, and then the second one came out like 86, 87.
Yeah. That was the worst one, huh?
The third one's the worst one.
Yeah. I did that one, Rambo, Rocky, one of those comes on. I'm probably watching it, with the exception of Creed 3, which I would never go watch again, and I'm sorry that I paid to see
it. It's because Sylvester Stallone's not in that.
It's not why. That's not actually why. It's poorly produced. I don't know. I mean, I know Stallone had to have something to do with the behind the scenes, but I think they let, what's his name, the actor.
Michael Jordan, he directed that.
I think maybe they let him direct it, and I just think he misdirected it. You know what's going to happen in a Rocky movie. The plot is not a surprise. There's going to be some drama. They're going to win a fight. They're going to lose their passion. They're going to get challenged. They're going to reignite their passion, and they're going to come back and win in the next fight. It's formulaic. That's what it is. Creed 3, something was lost in the translation because more so than a normal Rocky movie, what happened didn't make any sense in so many ways. And you never really got invested in hoping that it was going to work out. It was just silly.
Well, First Blood, October 82.
My wife would argue they're all silly.
Rambo, First Blood, Part 2.
I agree.
May, 85. Rambo 3, 88. Then okay. Rambo, January 2008. And then Rambo, Last Blood, September 2019.
I saw that one.
Have you seen all five of them?
I think I have.
Really?
I'm sure I have.
All five?
In fact.
Part 2 is the best one.
Yeah.
Ugh. Not a big fan. Not a fan at all, actually.
Not surprising.
Well, you feel free not to come back on Tuesday.
Well, thank you. And I will.
That's it, Kathleen. We're done with you now. So, Carl, what we need now is an update on the Star Wars
Galactic
effort this
cruise.
Morning. Yeah. Because at 6 a.m. Central Time, Carl's wife started dialing into this phone number in Florida to try to get reservations for the Galactic Hotel.
Yes.
What happened?
OMG. I finally got through, and it said the Star Wars Galactic Cruiser could be found information online. We apologize. We are not able to accept any more additional calls at this time. And then it hung up.
Is it a manpower issue? Did you go online? What does it say? Did they fill up or
she
what?
She called back, got the same recording. They apologize for the inconvenience, but they're not able to take any additional calls at this time. She thinks it's too late. She truly tried. She is sorry. She loves me.
Aw, how sweet. And she probably caught. Now, honestly.
It's been 2.5 hours.
This is a great test of how much your spouse loves you. Carl's wife probably dialed the phone 300 times this morning?
Oh, twice that.
Twice that? Because at 250, it quit counting, right?
She found out that, like, if you go to your recents, iPhone stops collecting the data after 200.
Oh, my goodness. You're a lucky man, Carl. You need to bring her something home.
I know
nice.
That. What are you taking? You stopping at the jewelry store on the way home today? What's going on?
Flowers, chocolate, something.
Nice.
You know what? I might take her to Grant's Farm tonight to
you
see the drone show.
Might take her.
The drone show?
She loves Grant's Farm.
Okay.
Well, that's good if
drones?
She loves it.
Yeah, she loves it. She, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to take her to Grant's Farm tonight and watch the drone show.
She deserves that. Something nice.
What is the drone show?
Well, it's where they have all these drones up in the air. They did it at Holiday World 2 years ago, and they have all these drones up in the air, and they are synchronized, and it is a sight to see.
Are they
and
taking
now,
video or is you, they're just
no, no,
flying?
You right. watch it and they create patterns.
Oh, I see.
Oh.
And now they started this at Grant's Farm this year. Every year for Mother's Day, she gets a season pass to Grant's Farm. She loves that place.
Oh, well, that'd be nice.
I do too.
That's
nice.
Good.
That helps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But a shame. But there's still a chance. Like, you haven't given up on the possibility
of
getting to go
to
Galactic.
We're gonna try again.
All right. All right. So if anybody knows any secrets or insights on how to get a booking at this Star Wars Galactic Hotel,
and there are going to be people that are going to be saying, "Don't you have friends that work there?" Absolutely, positively, do not bother our friends about this. No Floridians need to know how disappointing this was, because there's literally nothing they can do about it. She is 100% correct. I would not, my friends that work there, I would not bother them with this. Except I know one listens to the show on the Odyssey app.
But you don't think they could help?
I don't think they can, because this is like not in their purview.
Wow. Well, good luck with that, Carl. I really hope you get to go. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, actually,
that would be a dream come true if you could do that.
It would be nice.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. All right. Coming up, we'll get to Ryan Wiggins in studio here. Tell you more about this investigation into voting irregularities potentially up in New York State, and how far might it go. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Wiggins.
All right, the new host of the Annie Fry Show is in studio with us, Ryan Wiggins.
Thank you for the coordination. Appreciate that.
I did hear you filling in for Annie yesterday. Nice job.
Yeah, thanks. Yesterday, it was the first hour Wednesday, because she had to go pick up. It was like a conflict for her. She was out for the first couple segments. And then yesterday and today, and she'll be back on Tuesday.
All right, and you and Brad and Hannah and everyone did a great job. So good, looking forward to that. I know you and I have been following this probably more than anybody else at this radio station, and that is not only the challenge in Arizona to election results in the gubernatorial election out there with Carrie Lake, but just the election integrity issue in general, and the fact that a few states, Missouri being one of them, have moved forward with election integrity laws, voter ID requirements and things like that. Not all of them have, and certainly in blue states like New York State, they've rejected almost all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a report out that came out about 3 or 4 days ago. The American Thinker had it, and Undercover DC had this story about a study of New York's voter rolls, and the conclusions that it reaches are pretty stunning. I don't claim to understand everything that algorithms do, but they discovered buried within these data rolls four different types of algorithms. And in the researchers' words, not mine, there is no known innocent person or purpose or explanation for why these algorithms exist. It is a total loss of control data breach. And it should render this New York State voter database completely untrustworthy. That's an indictment of the entire statewide system in New York.
Yeah, and if you read this article in American Thinker, first of all, the fact that it's in American Thinker is good, because it is really long.
Yes.
And I don't think you're going to see this just at the New York Post or something. You might see a summary of it. It is making waves, so I could see a lot of people starting to report on this. But that American Thinker article is kind of the origin of this guy giving the full report. The first full half of it is, I don't want to say deep data talk. It's in a way that you can understand it, but it doesn't mean that you really get what he's saying.
Right.
I mean, he's going
into Greek.
Yeah, I mean, he's talking about the algorithm in a way that's attempting to explain it to the average person. And so you can read it. It doesn't mean you fully understand it, but you do have to trust him to some degree to say, okay, it sounds like you know what you're talking about. The article that he published has been peer-reviewed, and it for the most part, has stood up to scrutiny. Now, there are people, as you said, you're following Arizona. And by the way, just a little side note, the recent lawsuit with Carrie Lake, we all knew, I think you probably do too, that was going to be a loss.
Yeah.
Because they set the threshold so high for signature verification that there was no way that they were going to meet it. So it was almost like a foregone conclusion before the case even started. But there's a guy in Arizona called the Data Guru. I don't know if you follow him, Garrett Archer. He works for one of the local papers there. And he has been a good follow because he will poke holes in a lot of arguments that do need holes poked in them.
Right.
but in this case, he's addressed. He's kind of gotten outside of Arizona. He's gotten a name for himself, and so people take stuff to him now. And I like reading him because I like reading counterpoints to these kinds of things, especially when I don't know all of the data that they're talking about.
It can be confusing.
Yeah, and this guy's named the data guru. He says, unless New York does it differently, something like this would require collusion from every county. States typically do not have access to the file for most, if not all, transactions. That is a criticism, but after reading the article in American Thinker, he addresses that and says, look, the counties don't have access to this at all. Like this is above them. This comes from an algorithm that they don't even know is there. So there's no collusion required by tons of people. I think this is a very lazy argument from the data guru from Arizona.
Yeah.
Because I think this guy is really onto something, and that's why it's making waves.
Let me sum this up, because I want to make sure that what we're saying here is completely clear. This is what this means, right? Through auditing the voter roll database obtained directly from state and local boards of election, we have uncovered millions of invalid registrations, hundreds of thousands of votes cast by legally invalid registrations, hundreds of thousands of votes cast by legally invalid registrants, massive vote discrepancies, and the clear presence of algorithmic patterns that we reverse engineered from within the state's own official records. To be absolutely clear, there's no innocent purpose or explanation for these algorithms. I'm told by cyber intelligence experts they indicate a total loss of control data breach, the most severe kind of data breach recognized by our federal government. The law says it renders the affected New York State voter database completely untrustworthy. I read through this thing. What it's saying is this algorithm can duplicate voter registrations, vote the way the original voter voted, and then disappear. So in other words, it's manufacturing votes within the system.
Copies.
It's what he's alleging. It's copying votes within the system. It strikes me that if that's true, they need to completely scan this voter registration system to make sure they don't have duplicates in there. If they do, then there's probably something to this, and they need to find out if there were more votes cast than there were people registered.
Yeah, and I'm doing the same thing as you did, because I pulled a quote from his article that says, we know fictitious records exist in the rolls.
Yeah.
We also know those records have been used to vote. On top of that, we know, and he's saying this is proven, they don't know exactly what the votes are. That's always the question.
Right.
Is we don't know whether they're heavily for one party or they're just random. You don't know. On top of that, we know that records like those belonging to fictitious voters have been deleted. So that's kind of the point, is that they can see that the residue from them existing, but they have no way of tracing what the votes were, who these people were. And that's the problem, is that they don't really know how many times this was done.
So
it's a huge breach, like you said. And I just want to appeal to really Democrats more than anybody, but really anybody. Let's say that this was not some grand conspiracy, that this is a random hacker was able to do this, which isn't outside the question. It's possible that somebody were able to implement an algorithm into a voting machine or system that just does this kind of thing. And maybe they were just doing it to mess with things. You don't know if they had intentions to overthrow an election. But let's say you're a Democrat and you hear these kinds of stories and you just roll your eyes and go, here we go again. If there is a hacker who's able to get into a system like this, let's say they're conservative and they want to flip a bunch of votes to conservatives, to Republicans. Wouldn't you want to know that? Wouldn't you want to know that the election that you're undertaking is safe for you, too? I mean,
right.
This isn't just a blue-red issue. This is an issue for everybody.
Well, it's a good point. New York is a blue state. I mean, because of New York City, New York's a blue state. Like Illinois, vast portions of it are dominated by Republicans, but they don't have the numbers to match what comes out of New York City. So it'd be interesting to find out, why don't they do the same thing in 49 other states? Just like 2,000 mules, this asks questions that need to be answered by an investigative agency, and it'll be interesting to see if anybody steps to the plate.
Yeah, and
for some reason, I doubt it.
Up until 2020, Democrats were very willing to ask these questions and investigate these issues. What happened now that all of a sudden you've gotten so politicized that you're not willing to ask those same questions? Because they weren't really on the radar as much as they are now.
Yeah.
But I would have to say that before this, if anybody was claiming fraud, we'd all go, well, then fine, figure it out. It doesn't matter that it's partisan. Like, let's be nonpartisan for this issue, please, if we can.
Yep, it's very true and a good point. We're going to get to a quick break here. Of course, I mentioned this a little earlier, that it is Kathleen's last day with us on the show. So we're going to celebrate that a little bit here in this last segment. We'll get Anna in here. We'll get Trisha in here. Carl will go get his surprise. Nah. And we'll find out what that is coming up here.
Curious.
Drinking may be involved.
Now. Oh, okay.
All right. We're going to be back right after this. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Are you listening? It's Kathleen's last morning with us. We're so sorry to hear that.
We're going to miss you all.
We're going to miss you as well. And then we're sorry. I said it earlier. Family comes first. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yes. We've appreciated your efforts and your time. And you feel like part of the family. And now we got to say goodbye too soon.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to miss all of you. I mean, it's been... an experience. But I mean, it's been a great experience. I have certainly learned a lot about politics. I mean, my goodness, it's just city of St. Louis and everything has just been unbelievable at times. But like I said, it's been I will never forget any of you.
Well, thank you.
Especially the one that screams a lot, but other than that.
Anna.
Who's she talking about? Anna Bowman? Anna, what, my goodness.
Oh, hey. Oh.
What's on the web? Brought to you by Anna.
There's Anna. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Whoa, calm down.
Fine.
Anna's screaming.
Gosh, here she goes again.
Jeez.
Carl, what's in the bottle over there, just out of interest?
It's margarita.
Oh, margaritas.
That explains the yelling. Can do that.
That's in and Glenn cups over there, too, just so you know.
Awesome.
So we can crack that open and have a cocktail and
I'll
toast.
I appreciate
Most
you guys
definitely.
Waiting until the end of the show to do that this time.
Oh, this time.
I appreciate that, Kathleen, even though this is your last day and you're free to go once the show's over, that you're going to be hanging out here until noon just drinking.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
That's awesome.
How committed.
She didn't know that either.
Really
She's
cool
like, this is the first time hearing of this.
Her husband's listening at home going, wow, so I guess she's not coming in. not driving home anytime soon. Yeah, the Pronger brothers came in a couple weeks ago, right? They got a new whiskey. They didn't bring us any. Because they didn't think we would drink this early in the morning.
We're like, really?
Yeah, like, wrong. Dude.
It's not early
come on.
For us.
You guys do exist outside of the show also.
You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning, Ryan. Yeah. Come on. You know the answer to that. You do. So we'll get that bottle opened up, and we'll have a toast here in a minute. We got a cake over there, and we had some breakfast from McDonald's. Brought in by Trisha, which
wow,
is very
McDonald's.
Nice.
McDonald's,
it's
I
big,
know.
We splurged for you, Kathleen.
Those biscuits have gone up in price.
I
Let me
know.
Just tell you, I got the bill and I was like, what? But y'all are worth it. And Kathleen,
thanks.
Thank you so much for everything.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Well,
so,
thank you.
Did you pick up an extra biscuit for Eddie since it's his birthday?
It is his birthday.
Oh.
Happy birthday, husband.
Oh. Nice.
No, I did not. I tried to heat him up a breakfast sandwich at home, but the oven didn't work like it was supposed to. So he went to work with a half frozen breakfast sandwich.
Oh.
I'm going to try to recover on the other end of this work day, but
it's the thought
big,
that counts.
Big birthday
for
plans
now.
Tonight? What are you doing with it?
We're going to start a brisket. We're smoking a brisket overnight.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we're pretty
Did you get one of those wood pellet smokers?
We got
smokers?
A pellet grill. And
oh, nice. Those are nice.
Break it in this weekend.
If it doesn't work, call Grillmaster Tony. He'll take care of you.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
We're going with him today to deliver.
Yeah, you are. Feed our first responders.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, nice.
Going to be
some
fun.
Firefighters very happy this morning.
In Crestwood.
Yep,
we're going to head down to Crestwood this morning. They're the big winners for sure. And we're looking forward to that. Maybe I'll get a sample of it again like I did last time.
You mean when you ate half the bread? I mean.
I did not. I didn't do that.
I had to really taste it and make sure it was okay, right?
They're like, thanks, Mark. Wait, Mark, no, stay outside.
He's rolling in it. I don't want to touch that now.
He's covered in that brisket.
It's really good, and they really appreciated it as well. So, anyway. Anna, we've kind of stepped all over your segment.
That's all right.
Do you have
that's
anything
all right.
for us this
well,
morning?
Well, speaking of feed our first responders, I thought that this story was fitting. There was a crew of firefighters in Texas that went above and beyond this week after a man suffered a heart attack while mowing his front lawn. The paramedics came, rushed him to the hospital. He's now in stable condition, which is good. But the crew noticed his lawn was only half mowed, so they took it upon themselves to finish mowing his lawn.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's really
nice. Story. Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to plug our social media really fast, 97.1 FM Talk, for all the first responder content stuff we're doing today. So, yeah.
Yeah, you can see pictures of Grillmaster Tony, who resembles a fifth grade boy climbing up on the fire truck.
Yep.
He said he was
way too excited for that.
Can I climb inside? And he's got the helmet and he puts it on and he was in his own little slice of heaven there, wasn't he?
Oh yeah.
Did he get to like put the siren on or
they
the
didn't turn the siren on? He wanted pictures of himself hanging off the ladder in the back. And they actually have a fire pole there.
Really? They do, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so high. They offered to let me go down it. I was a little afraid, to be honest with you, that, you know, I'd get halfway down and either get stuck or go too fast on the way down. Yeah. I'm surprised Tony didn't do it, though.
So you didn't do it?
I did not do it.
Oh, okay.
He was covered in all that barbecue.
The barbecue sauce was that my fingers were all sticky, and it was a little bit of a mess.
I was afraid I might get stuck.
Like that. You see him halfway.
Never seen a fireman get stuck on the pole. But that's what did it for Mark. He was like, nope, what if I get stuck halfway now?
I wouldn't say I have a fear of heights. I have a fear of falling. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I understand. Yeah.
And I'm sure I could have made it down, but it was like a long drop. It was like almost three floors, it seemed like.
So. You know, they could have put one of those inflatable things underneath you, so if you drive.
Just
you
for Mark.
Fall
yeah. Yeah. Brand a bounce house just for him.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have bounced all the way back up. So have you poured any margarita here?
Yes, I have.
I think that I don't have one.
Well,
so
I'm it's coming your way.
You're still working.
I thought I heard the lid unscrewing on that bottle of tequila. What kind of margarita is this, Carl?
La Catrina.
No.
Ah, nice.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Ooh. So, Kathleen, cheers to you. Kathleen.
Ooh, I got to be careful. I got to host the show today.
Oh, that's okay. Just a little sip's not going to hurt you. Cheers, right? That's right.
Yes.
To the camera, everybody.
Greener pastures and good luck to you and your family.
And to all of you guys. Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
I've had
absolutely.
So much fun. It's just been, great.
It is good.
Tastes like Halloween.
Halloween?
Yeah.
A little bit, doesn't it?
Oh, this is good.
I don't know what it's flavored. What's the flavor I'm picking up?
It says lime and natural flavors.
Okay.
Tastes a little cinnamon. Mm-hmm. Sort of, or something.
I think that's what it is.
Is it cinnamon? Okay.
I'm detecting some hints of paprika.
You guys, we're still on the radio.
Oops.
Food talk on 97.
Yeah, no kidding. So we got a nice cake. It's chocolate on chocolate. I hope you enjoy that, Kathleen. You can wash it down with your margarita right after we get off the air.
What a day.
Awesome. All right, have a good Memorial Day weekend.
Kill Meads show.
Yeah, no kidding. Remember the reason for the weekend, and we're going to be off on Monday. Mike Elam is going to be in here for us, but we will be back on Tuesday. And you guys have a great weekend. We'll see you then.
Get more at 971talk.com.